these names.
And these names. All right, Exodus. Randall, do you remember what Exodus means?
It's the way out.
The way out. Yeah, the way out. Hantayo. Hantayo in Lakota is the way out. Hantayo, Exodus, and then we have, and these names. That's how it starts off, isn't it? The book of Genesis, Genesis comes from the Greek word beginning also, and it's Barashith in the Hebrew language. Now, let's look at something before we go any further, because we haven't done this for a long, long time. How many verb stems are there in Hebrew that we look at all the time? You remember? How many verb stems?
Seven.
Seven. In biblical Hebrew, it's seven.
Yeah.
Okay, in biblical Hebrew, it's seven. And you got it. See there, you got an A. There's a whole lot of them in Greek. A whole bunch. But in Hebrew, there are seven. The kal stem, or the modern grammars, the old Hebrew grammars were K-A-L, by the way. The modern Hebrew grammars are Q-A-L, the kal stem. Okay? Now, what does a kal stem mean? What does it, what, in a verb, in that action, what does it mean? Marilyn?
Kal stem? Correct your action?
It's action voice. It's action, it's active voice. Active voice. So it's in the active voice. Active voice. Like present, indicative, active. Kal stem, except you can have other verb forms in that one. But basically, kal stem means he is doing something. It's active. All right? Active. In other words, he killed somebody. Or he killed somebody. And then we have the niphel. Niphel. Remember what the niphel means? That's passive voice, and that means he was killed. He was killed. Now, the third one is the PL stem. Now, remember what PL stem means. PL. Randall, you remember what PL means?
This is stuff I heard before, and it's been a while.
Okay.
So, I
know. You know that one, Roger? What's PL stem mean?
It's an aggressive, active...
it's a very aggressive, intense mode. Intense, active, very active, intense mode. He killed somebody brutally. He is hollering real loud. All right, now Puel stem, number four, Puel stem. Puel stem is passive, but it is a violent mode also. He was killed brutally or violently. Number five is Hithael. Hithpl is reflexive. He killed himself. He killed himself. Now we have the Hithael. The Hithael. The Hithael. Now the other one's Hithpl. This one's Hithpl. He was caused to kill. He caused to kill. And then the Hophal. H-O-P-H-A-L is he was caused to kill. Like a soldier out there, he was called to kill. The call. So you send you out there and you're called to kill. Not because you want to, active voice. Not because you do it violently with what we call middle voice. But because you are called to do it. You are called to do that. Does that help? To review these little things? All right. And that is from Kyle M. Yates, grammar. I think I gave one of these to you, did I not? A long time ago.
I still got it.
All right, now. Am I doing all right, Roger, so far?
So far, so good.
Okay. We're going to go to the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, Wealei Shemot. And we're going to go to verse number 27. Now, God wants to watch over the human family, doesn't he? Humanity. Because humanity has some problems, doesn't it? What's wrong with the human family? We have a virus called the Adamic nature. And so with this Adamic nature, we are aggressively trying to take what somebody else has. We are endangering other people's lives. And without insurance companies, without law enforcement, in any way, God set down some rules. He set down some rules. Now, the boys right there in that little house behind here, he is studying to be a lawyer. He needs to be here tonight. Because this is rules for society. These are rules for society, safety measures for society. Safety measures. We have PL and PD. What does PL and PD mean?
Liability and damage.
Proper public liability and public damage. We do that, don't we? Have you ever known anybody to take their car and run it through the front of a house, somebody else's house? You see that all the time. I went down Gossard Road here a while back, and one of these roads here, and I saw this. People running through people's yards. The guy that did that now should pay for it. And that's what God says in his book. And this is the basis of all law and order. You don't need to read another book on law and order. What you need to do is read the Bible. I told my sons over the years, they got to argue about some things, and I say, well, what's the Bible? So, what's it got, the Bible got to do with this? Because that's the book. The book. The book is the most important thing in the world. We can't live, breathe, and make a living without the book. The book is very important. So let's start reading the book. Wim Shen Ovdo. Oh, Shen. Amatol. Yip-tel. La-cha-fishi. Yi-sha-li-ken-nu. See the double L, double lament, and the double... Nin? Mm-hmm. We shall li kenu. Tashat? Shinau. Mm-hmm. See the dogish and the nin? Mm-hmm. And if. We am. And if. We have a little conditional conjunction there, don't we? By the way, every one of these, if in my interlinear, you'll see what page number on. We is a conjunction in it. That's page 253. And M is page 49 through 51. It talks a lot about this word im. We im. And then shan, there the word sheen, that is what? Tooth.
Tooth.
All right. You heard the old story, eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth, foot for foot. Hand for hand, etc. This is exactly where it's coming from. Okay. Now we have Avdo. What does Avdo mean? Avdo.
Slave.
It's a slave. All right. It means to work hard. To slave. To work hard. In America, you know, the Civil War was not started over slavery, was it?
States' rights.
States' rights. But the Civil War was finished over slavery. Abraham Lincoln pulled a lot of shenanigans. He really did. He was a great guy, and he was a brilliant man, but he pulled a lot of shenanigans. He paid a lot of people off to get the 13th Amendment in, and then he wanted to push that if, and by the way, delegations were sent to Abraham Lincoln from the South to settle the war and to finish the war before the fight. Nobody had to fight anymore because they were surrendering, except they wouldn't allow them to come to Washington. They didn't want the delegates there. Because Abraham Lincoln, this is truth now, you can check this out. Tell them the truth. Because he wanted to get the 13th Amendment in. As a matter of fact, before the 13th Amendment, when they were going to vote on the 13th Amendment, people were saying, let's table it. We heard there's a delegation from the South. The war will be over before we pass this. And so they can come back in and their society can be the same. And they sent to Abraham Lincoln. They wanted to ask him directly, gee, is there not that I know of? Well, he knew better than that. They were meeting with General Grant already. But they wanted them to drop slavery. And that's the word right here. Abdo, that's in the genitive case, isn't it? That's possession. His slave. The slave belonging to him. The genitive case. And if a tooth of his slave, or that's O there, or that little correlative there, page 15, by the way. Okay. Shen, to tooth of his girl slave, Amato. What does that make? What? How does that make the girls? What's the feminine there, Brother Roger?
Plural.
The feminine.
Oh well, the vav with the pullum vav.
Yeah. What else?
The tav.
The tau.
The tau.
Sure. All right, that's what makes that into a girl. The girl slave. All right. And then we have Yapio. All right, that third person, nine who's senior, Hifel, imperfect. All right. He keeps on causing to fall out. Keeps on causing to fall out what? The tooth. Then knock her tooth out. Now, how important are teeth to your health?
Very important.
Very important. People used to pull their teeth out as soon as they could at one time. But that was after Campbell's invented soup and stuff like that. Back in this yonder area right here, teeth were very important because you had to chew your food. You didn't have Campbell's soup or instant meal or hamburger helper or anything like that. They had to chew this coarse grain. So teeth were very important. And right here, God realizes that and wants everybody to understand how important the tooth is. Li cha feshi. Did I say that right, Brother Roger?
Mm-hmm.
Li cha feshi. Free. Free. Ye shall lekenu. He shall keep on sending him away. In other words, you knock out your male slave's tooth, you knock out his eye, you cripple his arm, or whatever you might do to him, if it beat him and hurt him, he's not going to be yours anymore. Because you have permanently damaged him. Teeth don't grow back, do they? A cat can get after a lizard, and the cat can shed its tail, or not the cat, but the lizard can shed its tail, and he will grow a new tail. You don't grow new teeth. You knock a tooth out when they're permanent teeth, you don't get any more. You knock your eye out, and you're not going to get another eye. You destroy an arm or a leg or something, you break a leg, you break an arm or something, and it never is going to be the same again. He shall keep on causing him. That's Hifel, see that? And it's imperfect too. Third person masculine singular. He shall keep on causing him to fall out free. He shall keep on sending him away. Ye shall ye chenu. Third person singular. PL. Look at that PL stem there. He will do it with intensity because it's a command of God. Instead, look at that word, chatha, instead of his tooth. You knock his tooth out, you lost your slave. You knock his tooth out, you knock his eye out, you deafen his ear or cripple him in any way, and he's no longer yours. You lost 30 pieces of silver. It's going to cost you money. And that's what God made for that. But God made them to so it will financially affect you if you do this. You're going to lose a slave. You knock his... Brother Randall, if you ever buy a slave on the slave market and you abuse him, you have to go by this word here.
This is kind of a Bill of Rights.
That's right. This is the first Bill of Rights. We've looked here up until this point, and you have rights. A slave has rights. You don't beat that slave. You beat that slave and you hurt that slave, he's no longer your slave. You lost him. So there is a what we call a corralling of anger. Corralling. Now this slave, if his eye gets knocked out, his tooth gets knocked out, he can go to court against his master. Now, Abraham Lincoln knew that if the South came back into the Union and slavery was still allowed, they beat those people. Some of the slave owners beat their people. You know, Thomas Jefferson had his slave beaten. You know that. He had his slave beaten. They beat them to scare them to where they would work harder. Abraham Lincoln hated slavery. How many thousands of people died in the Civil War? Tremendous amount of people died in the Civil War. I mean, the country was depopulated. And a lot of the people that went through the Civil War came out crippled with one less arm or no arms or no legs or blind or deaf. And so many were killed. But the slaves were set free. The slavery, the black people owe Abraham Lincoln everything in all reality. Because he, in spite of his skullduggery, how he did these things, he bought votes. He bought them. He sent people out and said, you give him a postmaster's job, you do this, you do that. Take all the money you got and go out there and buy those votes. And then they intimidated those people so they vote for the 13th Amendment. He hated slavery. He hated slavery. Slavery was not only in the South, but it was in the North. Baptists started Sunday schools in the North so children could get off on Sunday, because they were, from the time they were 4 or 5 years old, they were working in factories. That's slavery, people. The coal mines was slavery. You get in a coal mine and you did not get enough money to live on, and then you got in debt to the company store. This is all corruption. By the way, every bit of that is covered in the Word of God. Every bit of it is covered in the Word of God. Public safety, public liability, property damage, all of this is covered here. 21 verse 28. Wiki, Yaka, Shor, Et, Ish, O, Et, Ish, Shah, Wameth, Sagol, Yesagel, Hash, Sho, Wilo, Yeakel, Et, Bisaro, Yuvaal, Hashshor, Naki, Wiki, Wiki. Tell me what words this come from. There's two words here.
And.
With And then key. That key. Key means because or when. It's kind of a preposition adverb type of word. And when. And when. And then yaka. Now this is third person masculine singular cow imperfect. Yaga. Look at that double G there. See that with the dogish in the middle of it? Yaga. And when he kept on goring. All right, this yaga there means to gore. Cattle. Marilyn? You ever have many bulls out here?
Yeah.
Do you ever have any mean cows?
Yeah.
Some bulls are so mean you can hardly contain them. Now, I think it was a Jersey bull and some cross that was really, something crossed with a Jersey was a really, really mean animal. Jerseys give a lot of butterfat, don't they? The cattle. And they look really pretty. They look like little deer faces, you know. But the Jersey bulls, the Jersey devil, you know, they talked about these boxers and things, you know, they were the Jersey. The Jerseys were really, really mean cattle. Now, this cow here, this bull, third person masculine senior, cow imperfect, he keeps on goring, pushing. The head of a cow, shore. The head of an ox. That word there means to lick up, literally. Eth, what in the world's that word eth there, Brother Randall? You remember a word that eth?
Isn't that the sign of the direct object?
Sign of the direct object, page number 84. And it is the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, isn't it? Eth.
Okay.
All right. And then we have ish. 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 What does ish mean?
Man.
What does it mean more than that? Let's get down deep into this word. Ish. This means strong. This word means strong. This means male. It means strong. It means male. A man, a strong man, a male. Or, O, that little correlative again, that's if you want to look that O up there, it's on page 15 in Brown Driver and Bricks. Then we have the sign of direct object again. And can you give me kind of the grammatical idea of this in, how about ace, the Greek preposition ace? You remember that, Randall?
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
That's right. And the Hebrew is a lot like that. This shows actions going someplace forward, backwards, or something. There's action. That's like the Greek word ace.
Is that something that comes in handy where the, like in Genesis, where the verb comes before the subject?
Yes. This shows you.
Created Elohim, and then you have an et to show which direction it's going.
That's right. He had created Elohim. All right. Et HaShemayim.
Okay.
And then we Et HaAretz.
Okay.
All right. Did I do that one right, Brother Roger?
Tov.
Tov. Good.
Tov Meod.
Good.
Tov Meod.
All right. Et. Sign of the direct objects. Extension and limitation of thought or verbal action in Greek, page 119 in Latin Analytical Greek Lexicon, by the way. And this one here is page 81 to 84 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Et. It means action is going there. Or, et isha. 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 What does isha mean?
So it's woman or out of
man. Out of man. Okay, out of man. Now, I don't know, but women are pretty violent. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You get a woman mad at you and you're in trouble from now on because they will never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Isha. The The idea is the woman that is less strong. And woman out of man, and man is strong, means strong, powerful. And woman out of man. One woman told me one time, well, when God took woman out of man, she took the best part out of him. She took a strong part out because women are strong. They're forceful. And women will want to be leaders if you don't slow them down. They will. And the Bible says, what about that? That the husband is the leader. Now, if a woman was on her own, she was in her own household. She was under her father still. A woman is always has somebody over her. Always. Why? Why? Why does a woman have somebody over her? You remember why? Because a woman was deceived in the garden. The man willingly, knowledgeably, took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The woman was deceived and tricked into it. And so the Bible said to woman, now you just sit back there and you let your father make the decision for you and your husband make the decision for you, the boss. But it also tells something about the man, about the woman too, doesn't it? What's it say? In the New Testament, Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So that's double. God looks out for the underdog always, doesn't he? Hagar. Remember what Hagar means? What does Hagar mean? Remember that, Brother Roger?
A paraphrase, and she heard God, or she saw God.
Hagar means wanderer. It means a wanderer. Now, just think about Hagar for a while. Now, God, Jehovah, appeared unto Hagar, didn't he? Jehovah appeared unto her. And Jehovah named her son, Ishmael. God hears. She was the underdog, wasn't she? She was a princess of Egypt. And Pharaoh gave her to Abraham to be a political marriage. And Abraham, with all the audacity that he had, gave her to his wife for a slave. She should have been his wife, a political marriage. Well, you know, what does Sarah mean? Remember, Sarai?
Prince. Huh? Contentious.
Contentious. And she was. Women can be that way. If you think women can be that way, Marilyn? Yes, sir. Contentious. And she was contending so much, she, first of all, forced Hagar to have sex with Abraham. Hagar didn't have any rights, did she? No. She had to do this. They didn't ask her if she wanted to. They said, do it. And she conceived. Caught seed, as it says. And Yelah. And she brought forth a child. And then Sarah was very jealous and very hateful to her, even when she was pregnant. And God, Jehovah God, told Hagar, go back home, be obedient to her, and I'm going to name your son, I heard, God hears. And he will be a very powerful man. Every man's hand will be against him, and his hand will be against every man. But he shall have 12 princes shall come from him. And so he promised her this. And that's the seed of Abraham as to the sand of the sea. And Israel and those that believe would be as the stars of heaven. Let's go on a little bit further now as we go on through here and look at the Hebrew. Or Isha, or a woman. And a woman has died, or man has died. To be stoned. Look at that word, sakol, to be stoned. To be stoned to death. That's a cal infinitive absolute, by the way. And he has died, if this bull pushes a man or a woman, and he has died. Third person masculine singular, cal, wow, consecutive perfect. What's wow, consecutive perfect mean? He has died. It's done deal. Perfect tense. While consecutive imperfect, keeps on. While consecutive perfect, he has died. All right, the man or the woman, he or she has died, to be stoned. And then that's Yisagel. Yisagel. He shall keep on stoning, being stoned. He shall keep on being stoned. That's third person masculine senior hifel imperfect. The ha-shor. The bull, the ox. Actually, literally, the head of the ox shall be stoned. You shall knock him in the head with a rock or stone. And now, we lo, remember I said that? What does we lo mean? What does we lo mean?
And not.
And not. We, conjunction, not, adverb of negation. That not is page 518. We is 253. And he shall keep on being eaten. Third person masculine senior, nephel, imperfect. He shall keep on being eaten. Et basar. Basar. Look at that, basar.
The flesh.
What does that come from?
Flesh.
Flesh, basar. Okay. Now, what is it? What is the Greek equivalent of that?
Sarks.
Thank you, Brother Roger. Thank you, Randall. Sarks. Sarks. Kaihologo sarks again, remember? And the Word and the Jehovah flesh he became. That's the word flesh right there. Yuval. Yuval. And right here we have the word Baal. Baal. Baal means what? Remember, that was a god, wasn't it? That was a pagan god, Baal. But what does Baal actually mean? Sometimes God is called Baal, isn't he?
Lord.
Lord, master. Yuval and master. Ha-shor, the head of the cattle. Head of the cow. Innocent. Innocent. Being innocent, guiltless. Guiltless. Let's go back and read this in the Amplified now. From where we've gone so far. If a man hits his eye of his servant or the eye of his maid so that it is destroyed, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. That is, God is castigating them for what they've done. And it's going to hit their pocketbook. It's going to cost them if they do this. And if he knock out his manservant or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake because he knocked his tooth out. Because that is a vital element to a man's health or a woman's health. Now verse number 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be clear. His flesh shall not be eaten? Why not?
Because he killed. Wouldn't it be?
What?
Because the ox killed somebody?
The ox killed somebody, but he's, and God's telling, don't eat the flesh of the ox. Why? Why? Why in the world would God say that? There's a perfectly sane, practical reason. Long time ago, I was a woodcutter. And I would go up in the woods, and I would be coming back down the mountain. And I would see cattle on the road and different things. You had to be real careful. I was hauling about 12 or 14,000 pounds of wood coming down that mountain. And one day, one of Al Beatrice's cattle was out there on the side of the road. Well, I slowed down real low. And all around there was loco weed. Loco weed. And this cow had been eating local wheat. A cow eating local wheat, you know what they do, Brother Randall? They think backwards. They think backwards. I come up there going about 3 or 4 miles an hour, and this old cow came out there and just ran right straight into my truck. I called Dan Al Beecher that day, and I said, hey, one of your cattle down there has got into local wheat. Uh-oh. A cow won't eat local wheat, or a horse won't eat local wheat at all, unless they're really hungry. But once they eat local wheat, they don't want to eat anything else. They become addicted to it. And they're all messed up. We had a local wheat out here, don't we, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. I have to kill it out often. And one time, old Star was out there. And she started, her tail was in the air, and she was snorting and blowing and trancing and going on. And here she could hardly walk. Her hips were so worn out and everything, and she was a prancing and going on. And I had brought a llama in here, Charlie the Llama. Remember that?
Yeah.
And she was just going nuts. That old boy that gave this llama to me, he said, is that horse locoed? I said, well, she sure does act like it. Boy, she was running all over the place. Finally, she is scared to death of that llama. You'd think he was a grizzly bear. But later on, she didn't want to be right away from him, did she? That became her buddy. That was her buddy, her fast friend. Now, there's another problem. Long time ago, my great-great-great-grandmother's first husband was bit by a dog that had rabies. Now, what kind of animals carry rabies? Everything that gets infected with it. There is no cure for it. But what kind of animals carry rabies actively?
Bats.
Bats. And skunks.
Dogs.
Raccoons.
Raccoons. These carry rabies. Now, we don't know whether this cow was rabid cow, whether it had been eating local wheat or some type of poison, but God says it is possible for that to have happened, so I'm going to make sure that nobody else gets hurt. Okay? We're not going to eat this cow because there could be poison in that cow, or there could be disease in that cow that will pass it on. In the book Shadow of an Indian Star, they made a serious mistake about what happened to the dog and what happened to Elatika's first husband, Jason McClure. Two things they made a mistake. First of all, they didn't bury the dog. Why wouldn't they bury a dog that had rabies? What do you got to do with a dog that has rabies? You had to burn it up until there's nothing left, because if something ate the dog, it's going to have rabies. Now, in the book, they didn't know this. They sent Smith Paul for a madstone. Madstone was what they thought would cure rabies. They put it on the bite, and it was sick to the bite, and they take it off. I have madstones. There's one over there. I can see it from here. There is a porous stone that comes out of a cow or a horse's belly, out of their stomach or in their flesh someplace. And they would stick this on, and this was legend. The Lee Penny in England is a mad stone, and it's part of the crown jewels. And they have historically accounts where it cured bleeding or whatever. That bites, snake bites, spider bites, whatever. Well, they have them burying the rabid dog, and they have them burying Mr. McClure. They did not bury Mr. McClure. He went out there and he told Smith Paul, you gather up all this wood, and after I die, you put me, if I get real bad, shoot me and put me on that pile and burn me up, because I cannot be buried. Something will dig me up, and then it'll have rabies. You've got to do this. These are things that we got from the Bible. We get this from the Bible. This is where it comes from. Let's go on a little bit further now. Verse number 29. We am Shore, Nakak, Pew, Mitt Timol, Sheila Sean, Wihud, Bevalo, Willow, Yish, Me Renew. Look at that double N in there, see that? Wehemeth, Ish, O, Isha, Hashor, Yesagel, Wigam, Bealo, Umoth. We am means here we have a conjunction and a conditional. And if the ox, and it has the idea of a bull's head. That's what's got the idea of a bull's head. And if an ox, the head of an ox, he is apt to or addicted to goring. This is his, he's mean. He's a Jersey bull. Okay? He. Now, how about this word hue there, Brother Roger? Tell me about that word hue there. Page 214,
15. Third person masculine singular.
What?
He.
Uh-huh.
Third person masculine singular.
Singular. Okay, it's a third person pronoun, isn't it?
Right.
So this is a third person pronoun like autos, autu, autu, auto, 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 ate, ate in Greek. It's a third person pronoun. Third person masculine singular, third person pronoun. And then we have mitamol. We got a double tau in there. See that? Mitamol. And what is the first part of that there, Brother Roger? What's that mam on the front of that?
From.
It's a huh? That's from. Okay. Page 580. Page 580-81. That's a preposition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From what? Tamol. Got page 1070 there. That's way out there in that lexicon. What's that mean?
I don't know.
From yesterday. Oh. From before.
Okay.
Manana, you know. Like, kind of what it means. Shilashom. All right. Shilashom means what? The third day. 3 days ago. And then we have Wehud. And he has warned or testified. He has been warned or testified. Third person masculine singular, Hophel, while consecutive perfect. The owner of him. Now, first of all, right now, you know, our if we have a Rottweiler or a Doberman Pinscher or a German Shepherd or some type of aggressive dog, a chow or something out here, then we have to pay higher insurance. Because the animal is potentially dangerous. They come from here, Maryland. That's where it comes from, right here. Now, if you got a Jersey bull, and he's mean, a Jersey bull's mean. What did they used to do the bulls so they could control bulls? You remember that? Huh?
Well, they put a thing in their nose.
They put a ring in their nose.
Yes.
Because it hurts. They put a ring in her nose and they let him around with a ring in her nose. Now, that's where we got the woman that's got a ring in her husband's nose, okay? You heard of that little, of course, it's getting kind of an old axiom. Now, we don't, today in the modern society, it's all messed up. But a wife sometimes would control her husband very much. She had a ring in his nose. And that's the way, and a ring in the nose, or they would do something like a pig. They would put two rings in a pig's nose. Why?
Well, it keeps them from rooting.
It keeps them from digging up the whole countryside. Because they dig up the countryside. That's what they root around. They dig. And pigs look for mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And they look for truffles and things. And we see all of this. A Gregarian society that we had before, we lose so much of this. and understanding this when we don't know, when we're not close to the land. Thomas Jefferson said that America should always be a gregarian society, a society that has farmland. Every citizen should have a farm. And in the original United States, when we have the right to vote, you didn't have a right to vote unless you had land, did you? You didn't have any rights unless you had land. Now, that wouldn't have gone over real good with the Lord, would it? But that's the way it was. That was the law here of this land. You didn't have right to vote unless you owned land. You had to be a landowner to have rights. Right here it says the landowner that owns a Jersey bull, so to speak, and knows that he has a bad habit when he's got a bad temper, and not, Wheelo, and not, he keeps on watching and restraining him. Third person Mastocene or Cal Imperfect. That comes from Shimon. And he has killed a man or a woman, the ox, he shall keep on being stoned. All right? Ox, he shall keep on being stoned. Third person master thing, and if they all imperfect, because he's a dangerous animal. And also, Wagam, its owner, he shall keep on being killed, because guess what? He caused the death of somebody else. He caused the death of somebody else. So he's what? Liable. Property damage and public liability. So this guy that's got this bad animal, he's in trouble. If this animal kills somebody and he does not control that animal, the death penalty is going to be exacted upon the animal and upon him. Now, that ought to be a very much a deterrent for public safety, shouldn't it? The man should take care of this animal, either eat the rascal or do something. Now, what was different about these bulls then than there are than today? What's different about these bulls than what's going on in the world today? There was another law too, wasn't there? If you had a bull or a ram or a goat, a male one, you could not castrate them. Did you know that? That was against the law also. You couldn't castrate them. Now, our laws of neutering animals and stuff today to keep the population down was actually illegal, according to the Bible. Now, a bull is a lot more powerful than a steer. A lot more powerful than a steer. A long time ago, in the cowboy days, which I was part of, they would take and they'd castrate all these steers, but every now and then they didn't do a good job. You have to really do a clean cut job, because sometimes you have a bull and steer. A steer that acts like a bull. And remember that time we went to buy that horse that was a gelding? Mm-hmm. And we brought him home and he wasn't a gelding. And I said, that horse was proud cut. I said, is that horse proud cut? Well, sure, we cut him proud so they'll dance and all. I said, I don't want him. I don't want him. Too dangerous. He was too dangerous. So well, we took the animal back, didn't we? A beautiful, beautiful horse. But he acted like a stallion. And I wasn't going to have that stallion around Maryland or Dakota, either one. That wasn't going to work. So we have this. We have public liability and public damage. And we're going to go on with that a little bit further. Any questions? Did you learn something? I hope that the laws of God protect man. God loves you in every way. He wants to help society. He wants society to protect each other. The slaves were protected from the slave owners. The cattle and the sheep and the goats had rights. They had rights. What do you know about that? Animal rights in the Bible. And yet we have an animal that is bad, if the animal is bad and aggressive. And I'll say this one thing. Sometimes people breed dogs and horses because they are good-blooded, but sometimes they have bad traits. There's one thing about golden retriever dogs. Golden retriever dogs, you can have these puppy mills. And a puppy mill is somebody who just wants to make money. And they will sell you a dog. You might buy one a lot cheaper. But many times, these puppy mills will put dogs that have bad traits. They have history of cancer, melanoma, and things. And I had a wonderful golden retriever one time that came from a puppy mill. I did not get him directly from the puppy mill, but by the time he was 6 years old, he died with cancer. And another thing, Doberman pinchers, Doberman. One of the traits, and this is illegal according to the Bible now if you do this. They bred those Doberman pinchers. I had a friend named Sam, and she had several Doberman pinchers. When they got about 6 or 7 years old or 8 years old, they went crazy. Marilyn, what was wrong with it? Why did the Doberman pinchers? You had one named Braun.
That happened with mine.
Yes. It had a tumor in its brain, and the dog attacked you, and that dog loved you. Mm-hmm. But he, because of a puppy mill, you didn't get him the same place as the others, huh?
Well, we bought him from a show dog family.
Yeah.
And we always got to pick which one we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We had 5 or 6 Dobermans.
Yeah.
And
well, there.
One of them was great.
Yeah, except
this,
for...
this one, I went out, I mean, she was like a shadow with me all the time, and I went out, and I was alone here, and she went to snap. She snapped on my arm, and the PGD man just drove up at that time, and he said, go to the house and don't open the door. And we had to take her and have her put to sleep.
That happens. See, bad breeding. That's what it was. I had a horse. Handy Star King was his name. He was out of Oklahoma Star, and Handy King was his father. Star Beth was his mother. Star Beth went nuts. She went crazy. And several of her colts went crazy like she did. She was set the world's record for barrel racing. A lot of barrel racing horses go crazy anyway. They go stir crazy running those barrels. But anyway, the one I had became very dangerous, and he stomped me almost to death. And I knew that I either had to break that horse or kill that horse. He was too dangerous. I did break him. When I broke him, I hit him in the head with a 24-inch 3/4 drive breaker bar. Thump. And from that time on, he was okay. Never had any more trouble with him. Never had any more trouble. I'd give him a lobotomy, I guess. But he was as gentle as a lamb from that time on. Unbelievable stallion. He's a stallion. And gentle like a gilly after that. Well, I hope you enjoyed the class, and I hope you learned something from God's Word. This is things we can apply in our lives, isn't it? This is God's Word. We study Hebrew, but yet it is very beautiful and very practical in every way, and it has limits on everything that we do, doesn't it? Limits. Anything? Want to say anything? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Randall, will you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Our God, I thank you for this time that we've spent together and studying your word in the original language. We find it very beneficial, and I pray that you be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.